The Americhicks with Molly Boats and Kim Monson. The most important stories.
They are like this newfound, off-hinged part of the left. Even Chuck Schumer's pushing back on.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
The buck is stopping with Trump. The different administrations prior to him have been kicking the can down the road on a number of issues.
And opinions and ideas that prepare you to tackle the day ahead.
The heart of this is the U.S. Constitution a progressive document, or is it something that should be looked at as an original document?
It's the Americhicks, Molly and Kim.
Because face it, ideas matter.
Because ideas matter.
Hello, good morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday. We're the Americhicks. I'm Molly Vogt.
And I'm Kim Munson.
And we're happy to be here with you every Monday to Friday, 6 to 7 a.m. and a replay again in the afternoons, 1:30 or 2, depending on the day. Check out our website, americhicks.com. If you're not getting our email that lets you know all of the upcoming guests that we have, go to the website, please, and sign up right now, because Kim puts together this amazing email every week so that you know who's coming on. And then, of course, we pepper in the news and talk about the culture and politics and what's going on.
Right. And then also sign up Facebook and Twitter.
Yep.
As well.
Americhicks on Facebook.
Because you
and Twitter.
Take that and you just, you know, well, morph it out there.
Sharing as much as I can about everything that we're talking about so that you know which articles we're looking at and reading and what's going on. And we want to hear from you. We want to hear, what do you think about these things? Because we want to talk about the issues that matter today. Whether we agree or not, we should talk about it.
That's for sure.
Just like our founding fathers did.
That's for sure.
And, you know, we say, talk about things as right versus wrong instead of right versus left, because it's not necessarily always going to be Republican versus Democrat being right. Who knows? And we want to talk about the exact policy and how does that affect people, mm-hmm. because the policy is always around. The people aren't.
That's right. So we look at the issues. That's
yeah.
important.
And so just one point on that, since we said something about the founding fathers, you know, we say elections matter, and they certainly do. And this last election was kind of painful for some in some areas.
Here in Colorado.
Certainly was painful in Colorado. And one thing that's probably going to be happening here is paid family leave is possibly going to be a reality here in Colorado. And by paid, I mean that means that we, the taxpayers, are going to be paying
for it. They're going to be forced.
By government force. So we're going to talk about that in the third and fourth segments with Hadley Heath Manning with Independent Women's Forum. So mm-hmm. stick with us and we'll give you the details on what that looks like. Really gets painful for regular, everyday, hardworking individuals.
Ultimately, and this will be a really good conversation, these things that may sound, you know, from the 50,000 foot level, like they really are helping people, it's really going to hurt people. You know, there's a couple of things going on out there. There's the whole Me Too movement, I think, is hurting women in the workplace, as well as this is something that's going to hurt women's opportunity in the workplace. But it'll be great to unpack that with Hadley Heath Manning.
Sure. Well, we'll tell you what it looks like, how does it work, how much, and all that. So that's one thing. Also, I wanted to say, because it seemed like so many folks who were limited government folks like us, we call ourselves conservatarians, don't really fit into a box. But there were many supposed conservatives who were pushing bad big government policies mm-hmm. this past election season. So we've decided, what's the solution? Let's come up with a solution rather than crying about it all day long and pointing fingers. So we are starting a Federalist Papers book club with Dr. Thomas Kranewitter. Mm-hmm. You know him from LPR. If you went through the program here, he was also with Claremont College. He's really an expert on what the founding fathers were thinking and the writings during the time of creating the Constitution. Mm-hmm. And so it's called
Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth.
It'll be at the Water's Edge Winery, and it will be the fourth Monday of every month beginning in January. If you go to the Americhicks website right now, you can see the invite and RSVP there and let us know. It's going to be, you know, 12 sessions, and it's mm-hmm. absolutely amazing going through the Federalist Papers with Tom Kranewitter. That way you will always be able to back up your premise. You know, why do I believe in a constitution? Why do I believe in a limited government? Why is that the best for me? You'll always be able to answer those questions.
And then that way you're going to be able to have reasonable conversations when you're talking with people. I know that when I first got involved in all of this, I kind of inherently knew that, hey, you know, that whole paid family leave thing, that boy, you know, there's something not quite right about it. But I get into rather heated arguments because I couldn't get my brain around what that principle was. I knew that principle was out there, but I couldn't get my brain around it. And so it does take a lot of work to understand these. This is going to be fun, though.
Oh, it's going to be awesome. He does a really great job. And, of course, Water Jazz Winery is so much fun, and we're going to be there.
Right. So the way it's going to work is it's $20 tuition for each session if you sign up in advance. We would highly recommend that you actually do the complete package, $240 for the whole year. It's going to be 2019. You're going to get some your own special name tag and a wine charm. I think it's going to get to the point where it's going to be at capacity. So I think I would highly recommend that you go ahead and get signed up for the whole year. If there's room available, you can also come in at the door. The great thing about this is a really wonderful Christmas gift because you know what, Molly? It is the right color and it fits. And so you know you're going to be a hero.
Wine and truth always fits. Me,
that's right.
I'll tell you that. Both of them. So
Americhicks.com.
So go to Americhicks.com for the new book club that's starting in January. Okay. A couple other things. So the Dow fell another 508 points yesterday. And, you know, Friday it was nearly 500 points. So a 2% drop 2 days in a row. We're going to get into that. We've got Brian Dmytrovic who's going to be calling in the next segment. He's the economist we talk to a lot. You know, he was here at CU Boulder. He was the
professor of conservative thought and policy.
They only allow a few in. He was one of them. And he wrote a book with Larry Kudlow, who, as you know, advises President Trump on the economy as well. So we're going to talk to him about what he thinks is going on. And then also we will be talking with Jason McBride, as we do every day, with Presidential Wealth Management, because we're going to talk to him about the drop in the market and what it means as well. So talking to an economist as well as a wealth management guy who actually sits down with you day to day. So we'll go through all of that. What's going on? Is it the Federal Reserve meeting? Is this a recession? Is it trade concerns?
Is it fact that Democrats took the House and people are looking at it going, wait a minute, they're going to do everything they can to get this economy slowed down?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Is it the looming shutdown coming up? I remember right when President Trump won, right when the announcement was that he won, all of a sudden the stock market started going up, because it's the difference between the uncertainty and the certainty of what you're going to do with your money, with your jobs, with your investments. I mean, people that are thinking about starting a new business, if they think something like this is coming down the pike, they don't do it. The Federal Reserve is looking at raising interest rates. They're going to talk about that tomorrow. And if they do raise short-term interest rates, that hurts small businesses like ours. And I think that's what a lot of people are waiting.
Well, I think the other component is if you look at the Democrat policies of higher taxes, more rules, more regulation, those are the things that really stop the economy. And because the economy and the stock market was saying before the election, it was pretty positive. But now, since we know and it looks to us like what the Democrats don't want to govern. They want to have a witch hunt over the next 2 years. They're not going to be in there to govern to try to make it better for everyday ordinary Americans. They are just going to be causing trouble.
Yeah. And and one other thing that we talked about yesterday, we had Dr. Jill Vecchio on who read the entire Obamacare bill years ago, and she was traveling the United States telling people what's in it, how is it going to hurt people. You say that it's going to make it less expensive for everybody. It made it more expensive. It made people buy coverage.
She was absolutely right on everything she said.
We're all buying coverage we don't need, which makes all of our costs go up, and so nobody really could even afford to go to the doctor. You got this insurance card, but you can't afford to use it. And so because the federal judge in Texas just ruled the ACA and the individual mandate unconstitutional, it looks like now the House Democrats plan to join that legal fight. So they're going to come out saying Obamacare is legal and the individual mandate is. So this is going to be a big deal in 2019 to watch. But if you didn't listen yesterday, go back on the Americhicks website and listen to yesterday's show, because Dr. Jill Vecchio, she does have solutions for how to make health care less expensive,
affordable,
make it affordable, and
accessible.
So that you can actually get what you want. Exactly, accessible. You're not waiting in a long line like Canada or somewhere else where it's a universal health care, because nothing is free. Somebody pays for it. So we're going to be
eye. There's a money tree somewhere out there.
Yeah, it's us. We're going to keep our eyes on that. So keep an eye on that. Democrats are going to join that fight. One more quick thing before we go to break, and then we bring Brian Dmytrovic on regarding the economy and what's going on. This two-year investigation that's been going on into a fake Trump-Russia collusion during the campaign, you know, we've been waiting, give us some proof, nothing ever comes out. I think this is very interesting. We just got this news. Christopher Steele, the former former British spy. He prepared that Russian dossier that was used by the FBI to attain a FISA warrant to illegally wiretap American citizens. He is admitting it. And so, you know, he told a London court that he was hired to provide a basis to challenge the legitimacy of the 2016 presidential election in the event Trump won. So obviously this was all done before President Trump even won the election. And it was done by the DNC and Hillary for America, HFACC Inc. They paid for this lawsuit. I'm sorry, they paid for this dossier, for this research to be done. And so Mr. Steele has admitted it. And now this information has just been brought to the United States from London. And so his answers were just filed Tuesday in a lawsuit in Washington against the investigative firm Fusion GPS, which handled Steele, who was a British intelligence officer. And it says his immediate client was law firm Perkins Coie. It engaged Fusion to get information necessary for them to provide legal advice on the potential impact of Russian involvement on the legal validity of the outcome of the 2016 presidential election. We now have proof from his own words. He's admitted it in London. Now it's in the United States. Steele was hired by Hillary Clinton and the DNC to put together a fake dossier on President Trump in case he won, so that they could say there was Russian collusion, which there was not, and so that they could illegally spy on the people in his campaign.
Okay, and the other thing about this, Molly, is if you're going in and you're trying to search with any of these search engines, none of the mainstream media comes up as reporting this. These people are not doing their job. You know it, because there is the dishonesty of obfuscation. There's the dishonesty of actually not telling the whole truth. And if you look at this, you know, if there's people out there just trying to get the information, it is not out there on any of the mainstream media.
So we're going to put this link on the Americhicks Facebook page and on Twitter. Please, please share it and say, did you know? We want to make sure everybody knows this. Because, and one good point about this also, remember past President Barack Obama said never in his lifetime had he seen a presidential candidate trying to discredit the elections and the election process before the votes ever took place, because candidate Trump said, you know, I don't know if I'm going to accept the rigged results. We'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. And so Obama was saying nobody has ever discredited elections before they took place. And now we know that they did. Hillary Clinton, the DNC, did just that. They paid for this dossier, and Obama knew about it.
Got it.
And so, you know, you look at James Comey, and we're trying to figure out if he's ever going to share any information with us. The FBI used this dossier knowing it wasn't true. So there is something stinky at the top, and it's slowly starting
very,
to come out.
Fishy.
So we've got to share it because the mainstream media isn't.
Right. And somebody called yesterday. They said, you know, I'm getting confused. I would really like to have some kind of a spreadsheet on all this. And so I got to figure out who we need to talk to, but we'll go to work on that. And I think after the first of the year, because we have this great week planned between Christmas and New Year's, we're going to have all of these amazing World War II stories. So when we get back after the New Year, we're going to have somebody on, because this is very, very complicated.
Lay it out.
But we're going to lay it out. That's for sure. You know, one of the great things about this season, I mean, I love Christmas time, Molly, but I also love college football. It is bowl season, and we are getting ready for the NFL playoffs. The Super Bowl, if you can believe it, is right around the corner. And Hooters, I mean, they love the Super Bowl. They love NFL playoffs. That is the place to go for all the great games, and they have all kinds of great football specials. Had the girls over just recently last week, ordered some of the wings in through Grubhub, you know, one of the delivery services. I look like a hero, but by the time I got to the table, all of the wings were gone. So I need to order an extra dozen next time. So they've got these great smoked wings. They're half the calories. And so be sure and check it out. Go over to Hooters, have, you know, meet some friends, watch some games, just kind of check out from everything that's going on there. And check out HootersColorado.com. That's HootersColorado.com. Let them know that you know the Americhicks, and let's ramp up for football season.
Great. Stick with us. We're going to get a break. When we come back, we'll have Brian Dimitrovic on with us. We're going to talk about the economy and what's going on with that market.
All Americhicks sponsors are an exclusive partnership with the Americhicks and are not affiliated or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you'd like to support the work of the Americhicks and grow your business, contact them at americhicks.com.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine recently celebrated 30 years with RE/MAX Alliance. Karen Levine believes in home ownership. As a Colorado representative to the National Board of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. The Americhicks, Molly and Kim, know Karen Levine personally and cannot recommend her highly enough. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. 303-877-7516.
Dan Predovich and his team at Predovich & Company help your business plan ahead financially. The Americhicks, Molly and Kim, recommend Predovich & Company as your financial business consultants. Predovich & Company will take care of your tax preparation, bookkeeping, and business advisory services. Dan Predovich and his team want to learn about the unique needs of your business through real, honest dialogue. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call 303-791-3000 to start preparing now for next year's tax season. Organize your business finances with Predovich & Company.
Hey, welcome back to the Americhicks Show with Molly and Kim. So the market has been having a tough couple of days. Looks like we just had the second straight 2% plunge yesterday. The Dow fell 508 points. And President Trump is pointing to the Federal Reserve saying, what in the world are they doing? Because they're going to meet again tomorrow. And we think that they may potentially be raising interest rates again. So we have invited Dr. Brian Dimitrovic, your favorite economist, our favorite economist, to come on and talk with us about this. He's going to be on the Stuart Varney Show tomorrow, Fox Business. So check him out. You know, he's authored a couple of different books that we've talked about on here. One that we talk about most often is JFK and the Reagan Revolution, A Secret History of American Prosperity with Larry Kudlow. And Dr. Brian Dimitrovic also does a weekly column in Forbes. So check it out. Dr. Dimitrovic, thanks for joining us today.
It's very nice to be here, Molly.
Tell us what to think, because right now, I mean, I'm looking, okay, the Dow's fallen two times. I'm like, what's going on? Is it because people are concerned about the Federal Reserve meeting? Is it a recession? Is it because of slower economic growth? Is it trade concerns? Is it, you know, the healthcare stocks went down because the federal judge in Texas said the ACA is not constitutional. Now the Dems said that they're going to fight against that. What do you think is going on?
I think the most important thing to do is to look at when the market peaked last, when it had its all-time high, or essentially the all-time high, and that was back in late September. So the Dow has been falling since its peak at various rates of velocity since late September. Now, the stock market is famous for always trying to look around the corner, and what happened since then? What did the stock market divine? The stock market divined that Nancy Pelosi would be Speaker of the House of Representatives. Didn't like that. So I think the main thing the stock market is worried about is, oh, we're going to have some kind of pause in growth-oriented policy, which we had tax rate cuts, we had reductions in spending, we had deregulation. There's going to be second-guessing of that. Maybe we'll pull money out of the market.
That totally makes sense, because it's, you know, whether you are certain or you're not certain, and that's when people start to hold onto their money, when they're not certain what's happening next. What do you think about the Federal Reserve's meeting tomorrow?
Yeah, I think the Federal Reserve should start to take it easy a little bit. I certainly do, in that the only real reason for so-called tight money is when there's some kind of currency crisis and you have to reestablish the value of the dollar. Well, the dollar is unequivocally the dominant currency in the world right now. The price of gold has been stable within a very narrow band for something like 6 years now. That said, I think the Federal Reserve can be exaggerated as a cause of good and bad economic things. There's so much global capital right now that investment can flow to where it needs to go. You very rarely hear an executive saying, hey, we tried to get money from the bank, but they couldn't get it because the Fed's discount window was too high. Now, I think that the markets are worried about fiscal policy. They're worried about a Democratic Congress, and they're worried about the next several years, not tomorrow's Fed meeting.
So, Brian, I totally agree that the market is saying that they are so concerned about what's going to happen with this Democrat House. To me, it looks like they do not want to govern. It's It's not that they are looking for the ordinary man, which that's what it seems that Trump has really been able to relate to, is that ordinary man and woman that want the opportunity of a job. They want the opportunity of being able to take care of their families, have more money in their pocket. And clearly, the Democrats, you know, what they are, it looks to me like what they want to do over the next 2 years is go after Trump instead of govern. So are we, I mean, I hate to say fearful, but I mean, I'm really concerned about this. When we look at young people, they've just finally had a shot at the American dream. You know, so many kids are employees. I mean, I'm really concerned about what this means for the ordinary American, as well as our young people trying to get a hold on their life.
Kim, you're so right. We had it this summer. We had that run of 4% growth. That's what America's supposed to be about. And it looks like that opportunity is starting to slip away from us. And we had it in our hands this past summer. And that's an outrage, of course, if government in Washington is just going to take that away, especially from people who have been waiting so long for that. And that includes the new generation that's coming up. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've been waiting for a new generation to come in and move into American prosperity. When we have big government, when we have $5 trillion spending, when we have big-time regulation, when we have a currency policy that's incoherent, and when we have an end to the era of tax rate cuts, and I'm worried about that right now, then we can talk about secular stagnation again like we did the entire Barack Obama era.
Boy, you're really making me feel good
elections
this morning. Okay, help
matter.
Me. Make me feel good. What can we do? You know, you've kind of got a line into the top guys there, and I know that they're working hard. You know,
yeah,
make me feel better. Make me feel better.
Well, there's a very easy way to make us all feel better, and it's a good reason, the quality of the opposition. I mean, we're talking about some very long-in-the-tooth politicians that really the nation has no taste for, and people like Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. The idea that these people are going to bring down something really great that America just got going isn't very plausible. So I think these people can be defeated. And I think Wall Street likes gridlock of a certain fashion. I mean, if Trump can ram through a really good compromise on free market grounds on Obamacare and maybe get another round of tax rate cuts, I'm still not ruling that out at all, especially if he keeps going with these tariffs. Then that justifies further tax rate cuts, bring Marco Rubio around if that's possible. And I just don't think the quality of the opposition in Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer is good enough for us to warrant a lot of pessimism.
Okay. Hey, speaking of tariffs, because we've had you on before, and I think since we had you on last, you know, one of the things that you said that was so brilliant about Trump is he brought light to the fact that there were tariffs. You know, the implication by the mainstream media has been that, oh, Trump wants to put tariffs on. The implication is nobody else is doing tariffs. But it's been within the last week or 10 days that China came out and said that they were reducing their tariffs on U.S. autos from 40% to 15%. The aha there is China was charging 40% tariffs on U.S. autos? I mean, this is a big deal.
Yeah, that really hasn't happened since the 1960s, that we've had these bilateral and multilateral acknowledgments that we have tariffs and that other people should lower their tariffs in concert with the United States doing that. That's another accomplishment that you can tot up to Donald Trump that really hasn't happened since John F. Kennedy. I mean, it was Lyndon Johnson who started raising tariffs, and the world started doing that again. Yeah, right. So that is a great development. In fact, if that development had happened in isolation or in the context of a Republican, comprehensive Republican victory in November, oh boy, I mean, the market might be at 30,000 right now.
Okay, but Brian Dmytrovich, last thing. So the Federal Reserve is going to meet tomorrow. What are the likely outcome of that?
I think the Federal Reserve is acting like it's the early 1980s right now. They're still trying to say, we are so good, we are so vigilant about inflation, we're going to tighten money every time there's a little economic boom. Okay, that's yesterday's news. I also understand that one of the Fed governors, Lael Brainard, who was Janet Yellen's right-hand woman and was a big Barack Obama kind of Fed governor, that she's one of the biggest hawks. And I'm actually kind of wondering, are the Keynesians who are left in Washington trying to choke off this economic recovery? Mm. I don't think I'd put that past them.
I wouldn't put it past him either. So, hey, Brian Dimitrovic, you are going to be on Stuart Varney tomorrow morning, right?
That's right.
You seem to be his go-to guy. You're our go-to guy, and you're Varney's go-to guy. We love it.
What time will we be able to see you on?
You know, they haven't set me yet, but I'm usually on at, I think, 10 o'clock Eastern time. But they'll schedule me tomorrow.
Okay.
Right. Let us know, because we're going to share that, because we want to watch.
Okay. Hey, Brian, thanks. You actually did make me feel better, so I appreciate it.
I'm here for
Thanks, Brian. Have a good day. All right. So Brian Dimitrovic is an economist, so we've got his input. Let's talk with Jason McBride with Presidential Wealth Management. You know, we talk to him every day. We get his points on what's going on, and he gives us good pointers on what to do and what's going on in the market. Jason McBride, welcome to the Americhick Show.
Steve said, I hope you've been listening to Brian for the last few minutes. I said, I have. I'm going to say exactly the opposite of everything he said just to see what the girls will do.
Okay.
He's like, oh, I don't think that would go over very well.
Well, the thing about it, Jason, is one of you are going to be right.
Right, yeah.
Well, maybe we can both be right. You never know.
That's true.
So anybody that's just checking in, you know, the Dow fell 508 points yesterday, and this is the second day in a row, given, you know, Friday to Monday, that we've lost 2%. So what are your thoughts, Jason?
Well, a couple of things is, you know, we did break below on the chart some pretty obvious support levels yesterday. And I use the word obvious because sometimes when it's that easy to see and you break below it, it could just be a head fake where it gets knocked below it for a day or two. A lot of stops get hit. People get knocked out of the market, and then the buyers come in and scoop things up cheap. That's one possibility. The other is that we've still got some more down to go, and I think it's really difficult to predict what's going to happen over the very short term here.
Well, Jason McBride, what about the Fed meeting tomorrow? Do you think that they're going to raise interest rates, quarter point, or leave them, or what do you think?
You know, that has become a tougher thing to figure out. With the weakness in the market and a few of the economic indicators that have softened a bit, the consensus seems to be that they'll probably still raise them a quarter of a point, but there's some thought that they may not. I almost feel like, at least for the market's sake, it would almost be better if they just did the quarter point and got it over with. I think that way the market can kind of go, whoo, a sigh of relief.
Yeah, okay.
They're probably done for a while. You know, if they all of a sudden didn't raise them, I think that could cause some more short-term alarm. Oh, why didn't they raise them? Are they afraid the economy's getting so weak that they can't? I don't like higher rates more than anybody else, but I think kind of the best thing we could have is just a quarter of a point, and then, whew, we're done for a while, hopefully.
All right, last question, Jason McBride. What about a recession? People are saying, you know what, it's time. It's been 10 years. Do you think it's coming?
I don't know if it is, and as far as investing in the market, I don't think it matters. You can't, you don't get the reports that you've been in a recession until you've been in the darn thing for 6 months.
That's true.
So by the time you find out it's too late, you don't know you're out of the recession until 6 months later, and by then the market's already made its reaction. So, yeah, I don't know. It does me any good to predict that and be right, even if I'm right.
Yeah, well, and the point is you want to buy low and sell high anyway. So as long as you have a plan, that's what you need to do is just stick with the plan.
I think that's a good point.
All right. Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management, thank you for calling every single day. We love getting your tips on the market. We appreciate you.
Okay, guys. Thank you.
Have a good day. All right. Well, you know, I mean, the market goes up, the market goes down, and it all depends on what's going on with our policies and our government and what are they doing. So let's go to break, Kim. When we come back, we are going to be talking about this paid family leave, speaking about more public policy and government things that they know best. But usually when they come up with a policy to help the people, it hurts the people that they say they want to help because they don't think it through long term. They're not economists. Many of them didn't run businesses. I don't know. But at least we're going to shine the light on what's likely coming down the pike here in Colorado since the Democrats you know, had big wins this midterm election, paid family leave could soon be a reality right here. Before we go to break, though, I want to give a shout out to act2blueprint.org because, you know, as we talk about government policies and how they hurt, we also want to talk about solutions. There is a way for us to rein in big government, and act2blueprint.org has come up with 5 ideas for change. Check out their website. Also follow them on Facebook and Twitter at Act2 Inc. But they've got 5 ideas to rein in big government. Doesn't matter if it's Republican or Democrat controlled, we've got to rein them in. This is the Americhicks, Molly and Kim. Stick with us. We'll be right back. Happy Tuesday.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For over 30 years, entrepreneur, stylist, and Americhick Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best. And now, Kim is helping guys, too, with well-priced, made-to-measure shirts, pants, and jackets that fit a busy guy's lifestyle. Guys or gals, if you want to up your game and freshen your look, email Kim at Americhicks.com for your initial style consult. Kim at Americhicks.com.
Hi, this is the Americhicks, Molly and Kim. Social media is important to us since it's an avenue we can utilize to hear from and speak to all of our friends. For those of you who enjoy listening to the show, we'd love to hear what's on your radar. Follow us and talk to us at Americhicks Twitter and Facebook pages. Also, if you're a business owner who could benefit from some extra foot traffic from like-minded friends, consider advertising on the Americhicks radio show. Contact us at Americhicks.com or email Molly at Americhicks.com.
Feliz Navidad.
Welcome back to the Americhicks Show with Molly and Kim. It is the Christmas time, and we love all of those wonderful songs. So, you know, the government seems to think that they know better than everybody else, and they want to help people. But sometimes their policies hurt more than they help. So let's talk about paid family leave. Is the legislation that's potentially coming down the pike here in Colorado going to help or hurt women? On the phone, we have Hadley Heath Manning with Independent Women's Forum. And Hadley, you just do such a great job shining the light on this. Thanks for joining us today.
Of course. Thanks for having me. I mean, this is an issue that's so important to me in my work at Independent Women's Forum, but it's also important to me because I'm a working mom here in Colorado. So, of course, we want the best possible policy when it comes to workplace flexibility and paid family leave.
Right. Well, let's talk about what it would look like, paid family leave. Can you kind of break it down for us? What does it look like?
Yeah, there's a piece of legislation that's actually been floated in the Colorado State House for a few years now. It's much more likely to become law now that Democrats fully control our state government, but it's a state legislation that matches a federal bill, and both of them are called the Family Act. The one in the U.S. Senate sponsored by Senator Kirsten Gillibrand from New York. But this law basically would collect a new payroll tax. They call it a premium, of course, especially in Colorado because new taxes are problematic. You know, we have Tabor, but if you call it something else besides a tax, in this case, they call it a premium. Then everybody pays into this pool, and when it's your time to take a leave from work because you've had a new baby or you have some other medical issue, then you can draw from this fund. It's basically, you know, they're calling it insurance, but it's more or less a fund that would provide pay replacement for you during that time. It wouldn't be 100% pay replacement. It would be partial pay replacement. But the idea is, and, you know, I think it's worth talking about, some people don't have access to paid time off at their place of work. And if they do have a new baby, that puts a lot of strain on the family. Trust me, my 7-month-old is barely sleeping through the night. So I understand that it's tough to have a new baby. But the new fund would essentially be, you know, the idea is for it to be budget neutral. So the new premiums would come in and pay for anybody when they have to take advantage of the insurance fund.
So, Hadley, have they determined what that percentage would be? And does the employee pay in and the employer? What would that look like?
You know, they have, at least in the first draft of the Family Act here in Colorado, determined that the premium for workers would be just 1% of our pay.
That's a lot.
This is in the initial year, so there's no promises that this wouldn't increase. And, of course, as I mentioned, if the idea is for the program to be self-funded, then that premium could increase in future years. And, you know, I would encourage people to look at the government's track record, whether it's here in Colorado or at the federal level, when it comes to projecting the cost of new entitlements. Typically, they don't have a good track record of accurately projecting those costs. In terms of what the employer would pay, I'm not sure. You know, this is a draft piece of legislation, so I'm not sure if they've, you know, come to a final decision on that or not. But I think the idea is that workers would pay, each and every worker would pay. And that, you know, that brings up an important consideration. You know, people might want to ask themselves, is it really fair for all workers to pay into this fund when we know that a lot of people wouldn't have good use for this? You know, if you're a childless person, you know, plan to expand your family, if you have already, you know, had your children and taken, you know, your maternity leave or whatever you might have done, you know, people in the United States, there's good data on what people do. People cobble together a lot of different benefits, whether it's disability or paid time off or unpaid time off. Some families choose to keep a family member at home for a certain time, you know, maybe when your children are young. I know a lot of women have taken a few years out of the workforce. So families make a lot of different choices. And this law is basically making the assumption that all families make the same choices and all families look the same. It's a one-size-fits-all solution to a problem that we know Americans want individualized and, you know, customized solutions for.
Well, and Hadley, let's talk a little bit about the fairness of this. You know, as we really take a look at, you know, government is a one-size-fits-all kind of a solution, but everybody's different. And, you know, for a family that they decide, and it's a difficult situation, that they are going to do everything that they can to have one of the parents stay home with the kids, in a way, it seems to me like they get kind of dinged for that decision, and that doesn't seem very fair to me.
Well, it's not. I mean, let's say you've got the traditional family, and I know this is, you know, some people say, well, this is very 1950s, but for a lot of families, this is what works. It's typically the mom who stays home when the children are young, and typically the dad who, you know, tries to lean in and maximize his earnings so that he can be the breadwinner and provide for the whole family. And in that case, that breadwinner is still going to be paying part of his pay into this, the premium for this fund under the Family Act. And the family probably doesn't have a lot of use for dad taking a few months off of work when the new baby's born. I mean, a lot of dads just take a few days off of work. And maybe that's not what's best. You know, maybe it would be better if more dads took time off. But it's really a decision that's so personal that it should be for families to decide. And I've thought about, you know, becoming a stay-at-home mom. I've got a 2-year-old, a 6-month-old, and I think, man, it would be nice. Sometimes I think if our family could make it work, and you know, that's a really tough decision. I think any woman who's you know, lived through this is always questioning, am I doing the right thing? Am I spending my time the right way? But then we also recognize there is a different group of families out there for whom this is not a choice. You know, if you're a single mom, that's not a choice. If you are a family that needs both incomes, that's not a choice. But the point is, you can't apply a one-size-fits-all solution to all those different family types. It's just not the best way to do this.
Well, you know, and I'm thinking about that, too. One of the things you said before, Hadley, you know, is it really fair for all workers to pay into this? Yesterday, we were talking with Dr. Jill Vecchio about Obamacare and, you know, the district judge, the federal judge in Texas that just ruled it unconstitutional. And one of the big points that Jill always makes is that, you know, all of the rest of us are having to pay for coverage that we don't need so that it's more expensive for the rest of us so that somebody else is covered. And this is kind of the same thing where we are all going to be paying into this fund even though we don't need it or it's not going to benefit us at all. It's going to be money out of our pockets, which makes life harder for us, which makes it harder for us to build our nest eggs. I mean, you know, a lot of people are preparing to have a family and they're trying to build up a little bit of a nest egg before they take that step. And this 1% or more coming out of
our paycheck
is going to be a lot of money. Yeah. That could be coming out of, you know, what you're trying to send your kids to school or to college or preparing, paying for your own health care. I mean, this kind of thing, that's a lot of money for us to pay for somebody else when we need that money ourselves.
Well, and it's another government program, Hadley. And another government program means you have employees that you pay salaries, benefits, and, you know, and so it's not like that 1% is all that money's going to actually get to people, you know, who are trying to, you know, take advantage of paid family leave. I mean, there is going to be a whole another set of bureaucrats and administration and all.
Well, here's another thing that I hope people will consider, especially working parents, especially the people who think, you know, maybe I'd benefit from the Family Act. The one really encouraging trend is that in the private sector, a lot of employers have recognized that, you know, women are now such a valuable part of our labor force. I mean, since World War II, women have been, you know, increasingly working in various types of jobs, but we're now 51% of managerial jobs. So there's a lot of women managers out there. I mean, women have been hired into the American workforce and advanced in the American workforce more so than a lot of our counterparts in other parts of the world, including parts of the world where there are very generous government programs for paid family leave. In fact, there's a link between greater government-provided family leave and wider gender wage gaps. And that is in large part due to the fact that these programs, while they're intended to benefit especially working moms, they can backfire on women and women of childbearing age in particular, because, you know, employers look at this and they say, man, if the state is essentially going to pay my employee to stay at home for a longer period of time, then she's more likely to do that when she has a child. And of course, women are more likely than men to have children, to give birth. They're more likely than men to stay at home after the birth of a child. And to a certain extent, this is good. You know, I recognize there's a social and societal benefit to women staying at home after the birth of a child. I took some paid maternity leave as a benefit from my employer. But the Family Act really threatens to reverse those really good trends. It really threatens to backfire on the women it's intended to help by discouraging employers from hiring and promoting them. And it also threatens to discourage private sector solutions to this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Starbucks, mm-hmm. Walmart, IKEA, Netflix, Spotify, mm-hmm. American Express. These are all companies that have made recent headlines for expanding their paid family leave packages, in large part due to the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act that provided those businesses with greater resources. But if the Family Act comes in with a one-size-fits-all solution, partial pay replacement, that's, you know, sort of a government-run paid family leave, then that could displace myriad, you know, personal and private arrangements that people have made directly with their employers.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the big things, too, is I always think benefits, I like benefits to be provided by private employees or employers at their will, because they can use that to attract and retain quality employees, like the 401k, like those types of benefits that went into place during the Great Depression when the government wanted to stall any increases in salary. The private employer said, well, we've got to figure out a way to compete for the best employees. So they gave benefits in order to do that. This takes that opportunity away from the employers to actually offer something like that and to choose exactly how much time off they want to offer you and cover.
Right. And it takes away the opportunity or the incentive for the employee and the employer, for the employee to be an advocate to make sure that she, you know, she brings so much value to the company that they want to figure out how to customize that family leave so that everybody's successful. And it'll take away that opportunity. And I think ultimately it's going to hurt women.
I do too. Hey, we need to go to break. Hadley, do you mind hanging with us through the break?
Of course.
Great.
Yeah, happy to.
Great. Because I was reading an article and I see that at Independent Women's Forum, you all did endorse a proposal by Senator Marco Rubio that would address this issue in a different way. And so I wanted to see if you could give us some details on a different type of solution. So this theme, Heretics, Molly and Kim, we're going to go to break. Before we do, quickly, I want to give a shout out to anyone who is looking to buy or sell
Merry
a
Christmas,
business.
Merry Christmas, a great birthday
and let you
Christmas
know,
gift.
Christmas gift to yourself. If you want to buy or sell a business, check out Chris Cantwell's website. It is ccsellscompanies.com, CC for Chris Cantwell. And so he's got a list of a lot of different businesses that are for sale right now in all kinds of different industries here in Colorado. So if you're looking to buy a business, check it out. Go get one. You don't have to start your own and start from scratch and get a building and come up with a marketing plan and all that. He's already got stuff with revenue coming in the door. And if you're looking to sell your business, he can help you with an exit strategy and hook you up with someone that wants to buy. So check out Chris Cantwell, Transworld Business Advisors, ccsellscompanies.com. This is the AmeriChicks. We'll be right back on KLZ.
Work with mortgage professionals who will give you quick, accurate financial advice. Home Mortgage Alliance has the knowledge and expertise to explore the many financing options available to you. The mortgage process can be stressful, and as interest rates rise, it's more important than ever to get pre-qualified now so you're ready to buy. Call Kim Sturtz and Mark Cook with Home Mortgage Alliance to make sure you are making the right financing choice for you and your family. 303-888-2732. Kim and Mark will remain available to you 24/7 to help you through the process. Choose the only mortgage professionals recommended by the Americhicks. Call Kim and Mark with Home Mortgage Alliance today, 303-888-2732.
Are you looking for news, not propaganda? Ready for a news source you can actually trust? How about a news site that doesn't want to sell you a subscription? Visit CompleteColorado.com to see all the latest news from around Colorado. Complete Colorado's staff scours news sources from around the state and nation to bring you only the top stories that affect you right here in our great state. Updated three times a day, CompleteColorado.com has full-time reporters doing original investigations and reporting like newspapers used to do, as well as opinion and political commentary from a variety of Colorado voices. And CompleteColorado.com is the only place to read columnist Mike Rosen. Always fresh content, always free, always informed. CompleteColorado.com, your complete source for Colorado news.
Happy holidays. This is the Americhicks, Molly.
And Kim.
And we're talking, you know, elections matter. They certainly do. And so we want to take a look at a policy that's potentially coming down the pike here in Colorado in the new year, paid family leave. And because the Democrats won in Colorado and Governor-elect Jared Polis supports this, as do many of the Democrats in the new assembly, they want paid family leave. I think they're thinking they'll go around Tabor because rather than calling it a tax they will call it a premium. And that way they can just pass it in. And then that means that everybody, every employee is going to have to pay a certain percentage in automatically, whether you have kids or you're married or not, whether you're starting out, whether you're 80 years old and working, doesn't matter if you're ever going to have a kid in the future, you're going to have to pay into this fund so that then if somebody does want to take family leave, then that money can go towards them.
And Molly, the thing about Tabor, you know, just and which is the taxpayer bill of rights, is basically what it says is politicians and bureaucrats, if you want to raise our taxes, you have to ask us. So instead of asking us, they just change the language. There's something disingenuous about that.
A rose is still a rose. All right. So we have on the line with us Hadley Heath Manning with Independent Women's Forum. She does a great job. You see her on many different news stations talking about important issues. Hadley, you had mentioned that you all had a solution, another potential solution on how to get some funding for these parents. Walk us through that.
Right. So I think, you know, recognizing that not every worker is as fortunate as me and others who have an offer of paid family leave as a benefit from our employers. I think it's much more common for white collar workers, people who and households that earn $30,000 or less. Leave takers, about 62% of them report having no pay during that time. So we recognize that this is an issue, and it's actually something that affects low-skill, low-income workers much more often than it affects people who are, you know, in a better position to negotiate and demand that our employers offer some kind of maternity or paternity leave. So recognizing that, you know, we believe that a policy solution that would actually expand options for those families without interfering as much with the options already available in the private sector would be to reform the Social Security program to allow new parents to take earned leave in exchange for delaying their own retirement benefits for a short time. And this would require no new taxes. It would be completely voluntary. The only people affected would be people who opt in. And in this way, it allows those private sector benefits to continue to have some value because, of course, there is a trade-off. There's a cost. We're asking people to agree to defer their own retirement in order for this to be a budget-neutral solution, an option for low-income families because, again, as I've said a few times, we recognize there's something very valuable about parents who can spend time, especially right after the birth of a child, bonding with their baby. You know, it's better for mom's health, for baby's health. It's certainly, you know, better for everyone's mental health when they can spend some time together. And it's more likely to keep those workers in the workplace. If you are looking at the low-income new moms, you can see that almost half of them actually end up on some form of government assistance anyway after the birth of a child because it's such a difficult time to make ends meet. These are families who largely live paycheck to paycheck. And so our solution would, you know, hopefully curb some of that, keeping people on their own two feet, keeping them in the workplace, and allowing them to draw on benefits that they have earned by paying into the Social Security program themselves.
Okay, so what you're saying, there is the existing payroll tax of Social Security where the employee pays in a percentage and then the employer does as well. So they have paid money into that and then they can draw money out, but that means that they would have to delay retirement age at the end. And would they be able to take out more money than they and their employer had already contributed?
The what we call parental benefits, the earned leave, would be calculated using the disability formula. And so it's progressive. It means, you know, our you know, goal with this proposal largely is to provide an option that's more attractive to people at the lower income end of the scale. So if you're a worker who earns a lot of money, then the disability formula isn't as favorable to you. But this is really similar to about the level of pay replacement that you see in other countries like Canada or the UK in their paid leave programs. However, our proposal is different because, as you mentioned, there is a cost to these workers in terms of paying that money back through the delayment of their own retirement benefits.
Now, Hadley, another thing that we've heard about is this would not only be for families when they have a new baby, but possibly for someone that would have a parent that might be having some health challenges, a parent that they might need to take care of. Are you seeing that as part of what might be coming down the pike here in Colorado?
You know, from what I understand, the Family Act at both the state and federal level is intended to provide pay replacement for any FMLA qualified leave. And people are familiar with the 1993 FMLA law. That law basically provides job protection or unpaid leave for 12 weeks. It's an employer mandate. So it requires that employers of a certain size, I think 50 or more workers within a 75-mile radius, those employers who are FMLA eligible have to hold those jobs. They don't have to pay the worker during that time, but they have to provide unpaid leave. And so the goal of the Family Act is to come in those situations where employers do not offer any, you know, paid leave, but they only offer the unpaid leave. And this new legislation would provide the pay replacement during that time.
Hadley, you know, I like the idea of being able to pull from our own money that we've already contributed. But for me, I mean, I think I stand with a lot of people that don't really think Social Security's actually got any money in there, that trust fund is broke, that there's not really any money to pull from. And so then if we pull from that for our own family leave, aren't we really pulling from other individuals that we're making them pay for it anyways because our money isn't even there anymore?
Well, that's a good point, Molly. I think, you know, we all ought to be concerned about the bottom line of Social Security's finances. There's a lot of different ways you could structure our proposal. If you're really, you know, hoping to shore up Social Security, I suppose you could structure our program so that it's budget positive for Social Security, meaning, you know, you would just increase the amount of time that people have to defer their retirement benefits in relation to the amount of time that they can take as earned leave after the birth of a new child. So I agree with you 100% that we need to address Social Security structurally. We need to make significant changes. You know, we have departed far from the initial idea that the government was simply going to hold on to your own money for you in the Social Security program. The trust fund has been raided. I appreciate, you know, all of those arguments. And I think that we can do structural Social Security reform that really gets the program under control from a budget perspective.
Yeah.
And we can also consider our proposal, which you know, is based on the principle that it is your money and that you ought to have greater flexibility in terms of the benefits that are already due to you. And I really am hoping that lawmakers and other policymakers will look at our proposal, not just as we've, you know, applied it to Social Security, but start to think about the safety net as a whole in terms of the costs that are associated with it, so that people who benefit from, you know, government assistance and from our social safety net, we can start to think about creative ways to give them more control over those dollars, so that it's not just about, you know, government stepping in and providing you know, a laundry list of services, whether it's housing or Medicaid or food stamps, but really that we can be responsible with the way that we provide those benefits to people who are in need as a hand up, not a handout, and as a temporary form of assistance with the ultimate goal of getting those people back on their own two feet, as I said.
Yeah, I agree. And I like that you all have solutions that are saying, let's help people use their own money. So I'm going to go a step further. I'd say, I think we should allow people to pull from their 401k. Hey, why not? You know, if you need to pull from your 401k to buy a new house, that's allowed right now. How about if you need a little break to take some time off with your kids? That's your money. You put money away for your future. Pull from your own money. The other thing is lower taxes. And, you know, Congress did this last year, and that was great. If you keep lowering taxes, people have more money that they can put away for these types of needs in the future. They can invest in their own future. There are my two solutions.
I like that.
We've also suggested in the past, why not create a tax-free savings account called a personal care account? You have an HSA, you have FSAs, and you have education savings accounts like 529s. Why not allow people to save tax-free in advance of what they know will be an unpaid time from work? If you know that you don't have a paid benefit like this, and you know that your family's about to, you know, go through 2 or 3 months without the paycheck that you need, then maybe we could encourage more people to save or allow employers and charitable foundations to contribute to a tax-free savings mechanism for families who find themselves in the situation. So there's a lot of different ways that we could address this problem. I just think people ought to think really hard about whether we want the government stepping in as they would with the Family Act and really just creating a one-size-fits-all government-run paid leave program. I mean, that's a very personal thing to turn over to the government.
Wow. Well, Hadley Heath Manning with the Independent Women's Forum, thank you so much for joining us. You guys are thinking outside the box. And if you go to, is it IWF.org? Is that your website?
Yes.
Okay.
That's our website.
All kinds
thank
of great,
so
great information. So, Hadley, thanks so much.
Awesome.
Thanks, guys.
Okay,
yeah.
Merry Christmas.
I just think that if the government got out of the way, we would start planning for ourselves. I don't like the idea of the government coming up with the solution.
We used to be able to do it.
Because they come up with the solution, and then nobody plans for their own future, and then we're all on the hook for it.
You got it.
I don't know. Take responsibility for ourselves.
Okay, the great economist, then, this is the quote for the day. The most basic question is not what is best, but who shall decide what is best.
Yeah, us, for ourselves, not the government. This is the Ameritix. Molly and Kim, have an awesome day. We'll talk to you tomorrow. God bless you, and God bless America.